Now our Bible reading is from 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 to 10. And Mandy's going to read that for us. Thank you, Mandy. And then Pastor Chris will bring today's message.
Second Corinthians 12:1-10. I must go on boasting, though there is nothing to be gained by it. I will go on to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that this man was caught up into paradise. Whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And he heard things that cannot be told, which man may not utter. On behalf of this man, I will boast, but not on my own behalf, I will not boast, except of my weakness. Though if I should wish to boast, I would not be a fool, for I would be speaking the truth. But I refrain from it, so that no one may think more of me than he sees in me or hears from me. So to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given to me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong.
There for a second. No, that thing. Just looking at that. I am content with weakness, insults, hardships, persecution, and calamities. Is that anyone's favourite verse? Sure as heck not mine. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Now we can go around that. The weakness stuff, we don't like it. We don't like the hurts, but God is at work. Weakness. Can we relate to having a weakness? How about any of these? Short on skill, strength, knowledge, or energy to do what you think needs doing. The circumstances, there are knocking you around. You're like, finally it wasn't like this. Other people making life difficult. If they did what they were supposed to, this wouldn't be so hard. Injuries of physical, mental, emotional, or relational have knocked you around and taken the wind out of your sails or taken the things out so you can't do what you used to or what you'd like to or what you think should be done. Oh my goodness, that was a great colour for there. It didn't look so bad on my little screen. Our situation is not like our picture of what it could be or should be. Now, does that line gel with anybody? If only such and such. And then we go with, God, why don't you fix this? I know you could. Has that thought ever crossed anybody's mind? That's where Paul's sitting at. I got this thorn in the flesh. We don't know what it is. I think there's a reason why God didn't put it in there. Didn't tell us what it is. And Lord, you could take this away. And God said, yeah, I could. But I'm doing something else here. So today, I want to look at the concept of weaknesses. I will boast all the more in my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest in me. That's why for Christ's sake I delight in weakness, in insults, hardship, for when I'm weak, then I am strong. My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Three times in this little passage he's saying weakness is okay. So if you've got a few left, weaknesses that is, God hasn't finished with you yet and he can still use you. Because I can assure you, I've got more than a few weaknesses. So let's take a moment to ask God what he might say to us about dealing with it. Lord, I don't know about these guys, but I know when I look in a mirror and I'm honest with myself, there's plenty of weaknesses. And some of them I'm up there going, God, can't you get rid of this? Can't you just poke it and fix it? But Lord, you didn't for Paul, and you used it. Lord, help us today to hear what you might be saying to us personally. May your spirit resonate with our spirit with the bit that will help us deal with the particular situation we're in, that you might be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. To keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassing great revelations, there was given to me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. So one of the places why God allows weakness to happen is to keep from becoming conceited. Who likes to know it all? They're annoying, aren't they? I'm sure most of you have come across one in a work or at school or something. They know everything. Just ask them. You don't go and ask them because you do not want to know from them. And even if they're right, you don't want them to be right because they're flipping annoying. Anywhere I reckon Paul might have been like that before his conversion. He was an up-and-comer, but an up himself. He was climbing the ladder, and the ladder he was climbing was the Pharisaical one. And Jesus had a few run-in with Pharisees where they thought they knew it all, but they didn't do what was right. That was the ladder Paul was climbing. Probably the pre-conversion Paul was an absolute pain in the rear end. Because he was up himself, he was climbing, and he didn't really care about others. Lucifer, what was his problem? Pride. He wanted the top job. God said, you've got to be kidding, mate, out of here. Pride is a temptation that has to be recognized and dealt with in each of us. I don't think there's any of us who aren't tempted to be proud about something somewhere. It may not be your major temptation. It may not be the big one for you. If not, hallelujah, thank God for your mercies and that he's helped you. But it is something that we deal with at times. It keeps us reliant on God. When we're not thinking, oh, I can do this, when we're thinking, what do you want me to do, God? It keeps us in a better place. So that's one of the reasons why God allows weakness. Imagine if I talked about the Woorabinda trip as all about me and did not mention the team or did not mention the God stories. What a horrifying thought. I love talking about Woorabinda's trips. Why? Because I get to tell stories about how cool God is and the things he's done. And I saw what it did in the team. I saw how they got to help others. I'm thankful I got to be one of the jigsaw puzzle pieces that allowed that to happen. Because what God had done in me in the past. They're cool stories, but they're not about me. So, if we're going to tell the stories, and Paul said earlier, I don't want to boast because I don't want it to be about me. But if I did want to boast, I can tell some good stories. Thank God for what he's doing. Paul, some amazing things happened around Paul. He was there and they'd take his handkerchief and take it to a sick person. The sick person would get well. Anyone think Paul can do that? No. Our weakness allows God to get the proper glory. When things happen around us and we are admitting that it's not all our strength, when you can see that it's God at work here, God gets the glory. We can see and tell what he has done when it's our weaknesses, but something happened good anyway. We're less tempted to go, oh, I pulled this off. Others can see that it was God and not us. Because the glory is meant to go to God. That's what God's journey is, bringing people into right relationship with them. And sometimes it's our weakness that allows that to be seen rather than our strength. The second thing, well, maybe it's the third. What is the good, loving, all-wise, all-powerful God trying to achieve? What you're trying to achieve makes a big difference to what tool you use and whether you use a strong one or a weak one. Thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and all your strength, and your neighbor as yourself. What's God trying to achieve? Relationships. Relationships with him and with others. Now, how's that relationship work when one person has got it all totally together, or so they think, and they don't ever need you for anything? It can never be a thing. That's not a healthy relationship, especially if they're not humble about it. There's times where someone who's very got great abilities and you work together, that can be helpful. That's when it's God doing it, or godly people. But when there's a weakness, provides opportunities to help each other. And when that's happening in a healthy way, it brings gratitude to the person who's being helped and joy to the person doing the helping. How many of you have been in a situation where someone genuinely needed a hand, you were able to do it and you did it and you got real joy out of it? Yeah, it's a good feeling, especially when they're grateful. How many of you have been in a situation where you needed a hand and you're having it, and someone just gave you the hand they needed and said, good. And you were thankful. That's a good place. It helps build a relationship. That's what God's wanting. So if you're strong at everything all the time, which nobody is, you wouldn't have the time to do it anyway. But when there's weaknesses, that helps us work together. Done badly, it causes resentment. If you've tried to help someone, they've been ungrateful about it and just wasted it. Do you get resentful when they don't recognize their weakness and be helpful about it? Do you get resentful when you're the weak one and you think somebody should give it to you and they don't? And there's an entitlement going on? That can happen. That's not what God wants. But he wants us to recognize our weaknesses and see how he can use them. Strength and power cannot achieve some things. Does anyone remember the Aladdin movie? There's this bit where the genie is telling Aladdin, you can do all these things, you've got 3 wishes, blah, blah, blah. But there's a couple of things. I can't kill anybody for you, and I can't make anyone fall in love with you. Cannot be done. It's not a thing. There are some things that cannot be done by power and strength. And God knows that. Sometimes he needs weakness. Guess what? God is all powerful, but Jesus came to a cross for salvation, to draw us to him. Power and strength could not do salvation. It took humility and weakness. Heart change and conversion cannot happen at the point of the sword. Well, not how you think. I've heard stories. You see, whenever there's been a power thing and people have said, you've got to change religion or I'll kill you, it doesn't change the heart. People do it on the surface. It causes a mess. Why did I put the... Well, I heard a story that in Roman times, there was a group of Christians that were told, you've got to give up Christ or die. No, we're not giving up Christ. So they took all their clothes off them, stood them on a frozen river and said, the group of soldiers sat there and watched them and said, "You're staying there till you freeze to death." So that group sat there chanting, "We believe in Jesus," or something. After about a number of hours, one of them finally gave up and ran away and said, "I've had it. I'll pray to Caesar." And the soldier watching looked and went, took off his clothes, walked in and replaced him. The point of the sword caused a conversion, not how you think. The story goes of the 21 people that were killed in North Africa by Muslims, that they went down the line and said, "Are you a Christian?" "Yes," off with his head. And they got down to the 20th person and they said, "Are you a Christian?" He goes, "No, I was a Muslim, but if you're Muslims and they're Christians, I want to be a Christian." So they took his head off. There are times, where's the church growing? Iran, because Muslims are saying, "You've got to be a Muslim or we'll kill you." And they go, "Get nicked. We want to become a Christian." So at the point of the sword, yes, but not how you think it does. Now, that doesn't mean to say that sometimes God doesn't have to get out the stick. Paul was heading up a wrong track, and God knocked him off his horse, smacked him in the eye and said, "Sit down and shut up for a while, Paul. Have a think about this." Oh. Then the grace came. Then he sent Ananias to pray for him and heal him. Needed both, but Paul had to be knocked off his horse. Well, I don't know if he's ridden a horse or not, but he had to be knocked flat and made blind before he could see. Sometimes power connected with mercy and weakness and things works. That needs God's thing. But don't forget, God is not weak. The man that took up 40 lashes, then carried a cross up a hill, was not a weak man. The man who sat there and said, "God, is there any way out of this?" But no, I'll take what you've asked me, is not weak in his spirit either. Paul was not a weak man. The man who got flogged and put in jail and sits there and sings hymns and says, "Praise God," and then forgives the jailer, is not a weak man. It's not that God wants our weaknesses. He wants us to be weak. In the passage it says, "And if I was to boast, I could, because there's things to boast about, but I don't want to." That's not about, it's about giving God the glory. It's not weakness that God wants. He says, "There is weakness, and I will use that as well as the strengths." You see, have any of you ever struggled to think, how do I relate to this almighty God who created the universe, who sits on the throne and tells stars what to do, orders angels and all that? Why would it come to him? Why would he listen to me? But find it a little easier to relate to the man who walked on earth and who fed 5,000 people because they were hungry. If that reality is true for us, sometimes it's true for the people who are looking for God. And they don't necessarily want to go and talk to the preacher up the front who seems to have it all together. So it's not the preacher in this camp. Doesn't want to talk to this person, but they want to talk to an ordinary person and see how God's working in their life. When Daryl spoke at that church last week, he shared some of the ways God's carried him through some stuff that's hard, and two people were really touched by that we know about, that came and shared with him about it. I'm guessing there's only, but they could relate. Because of his weakness, it helped them relate to him. People can relate to a humble person who has been through it. Sometimes that's what God uses in our lives. If you've been through it or in the middle of it, you can feel and show empathy when it's needed. We have AA meet in our hall, and sometimes when they're walking in and out, I chat to them, some of the people that struggle with it, and I say, "Look, I can't really empathize what it's like to be an alcoholic. By the grace of God, he saved me from it before I ever picked the stuff up. That doesn't make you any better than you. But I can't relate to that journey. I'm glad you're finding other people that can. But when it comes to talking to someone who's lost a partner or something, there's times I've been able to be helpful to someone because I've walked that journey. Paul's hurts showed how valuable his faith was. In the previous bit of the passage, he talked about how he was flogged 5 times with a whip and 3 times with rods and chucked in jail and all these things. People are looking at him and going, you still want to follow God despite that? The hard things in Paul's life helped him relate to people and show that his faith was worth it. Then there's another aspect. The very nature of some strengths means if you're good at this, you can't be good at something else. So if you're good at this, you might be able to relate to these people, but you need someone else to relate to those people. If you're a high-energy leader that's just up the front and really good and full of energy all the time, patience may not be your strong point. If you're brilliant at public speaking and don't have a problem getting up in front and talking and all that, being quiet and watching how others are and observing and listening may not be your strong point. I try and do some of it. And you can grow in these areas, but it may not be your natural strength. If you're a perfectionist, hallelujah, we need them as neurosurgeons and things, but we do not need them as counselors. When we went to Woorabinda to fix things, I was so glad to have a Lindsay, because Lindsay's good at fixing things when it's not quite the normal, all the right things there. There are some people who are great tradesmen, if, as long as you can go down to the shop and buy the right thing and put it on there. Well, the shop in Woorabinda was the dump. He was someone that could have a go and make it work. That's really good, but you don't get Lindsay to fix the flash hotel in central Brisbane or wherever. Different strengths and weaknesses. So just remember, whatever your strengths are, God can use them. Whatever the other side of this, that is, God can use that too. See, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, insults, hardship, persecution. For when I am weak, then I am strong. I'll boast in my weakness more gladly about my weaknesses so the power of Christ can rest on me. Thank God for your strengths. Allow God to use them too. But remember, sometimes your weaknesses are what God is using too. I thought a bit about it like this. Anyone remember the old style fuse boxes where you had a wire running through it? Now, you could bodgy them. You could put something else in there. You know, you have seen them with a nail in there. Keeps the power going. I did like this one here that says the audio-visual activation if it goes off, but that's not what a fuse is for. A fuse is not there to get the power through. A strong nail would work better for a fuse than that. A fuse is there to protect the person or the machine or something else, so that if too much power comes through that place, that breaks before you blow up your $5,000 welder or your $3,000 fridge or whatever else you had on that circuit. You don't want a nice, strong 3-inch nail in the fuse box. Sometimes what God wants is your weakness, your softness, because that is what achieves the end he's trying to get across. The other side of that is, that's a battery welder I looked up this morning. They do exist. So I went and asked Lindsay. I said, Lindsay, how many welders has he got? He said, 7 working ones and 1 not. I said, how's your battery? And he looks at me like, Are you nuts? They don't exist. I said, yeah, they do. I found a picture of one. Why don't you have one? Because it's a waste of space. $6,000 for that one. And I'm pretty sure you may, I didn't get time to look up the specs and how much you could weld with it. But by the time those batteries are flat, I don't think you'd be welding much more metal than that. One weld, maybe. Because it cannot carry the power it needs to do the job. It needs to be connected to the mains. That's a weakness in a welder. It's not much good unless you connect it to the main power supply. Unless we're connected to the main power supply. My grace is sufficient for you. In my your weakness I am strong. God says you need to remain in me, then you can achieve things. What does a welder do? Connect bits of metal together and make them stick. What's the job that God has given us to do? To build relationships with him and between us and others and between others. That requires a lot of power. God's power. So sometimes the weakness reminds us that we need to stay connected to God. And sometimes the weakness is what helps people see God. So as we finish this morning, I need a volunteer to come and hand out some duvalakis. So come on. Okay. Give everyone one of these. Thank you. And I want to encourage you, as I just go through this, to take a few minutes now to do one. And then keep these in your Bible. Because I'm going to bet that even if you did this right now with one of your weaknesses and you found something that really helped, and I'm betting that most of you, all of you here, have got at least two weaknesses. And the chances are that sometime in the future you'll find another one. And it can be frustrating at times. The heart of this little questionnaire is to go, well, if God hasn't fixed this weakness like that here and now, he's got a use for it. Can I see what some of that is? So you can ask yourself when you look at what your weakness is, what's something you're struggling with. How is it helping you connect to God? How is it producing the fruit of the Spirit? What ways have you seen this allows to God to do things that glorify himself? What might God be doing different to what you thought or want? How is this helping others see Jesus? Who is it allowing you to connect with that it wouldn't be if you were just strong? What ways is it actually a strength? That going having this weakness means that because you're this, you're not that, so God can use this. And then on the portal, what's your solution, God? Whatever the thorn in Paul's flesh was, I've heard read people say they think it was his eyesight was terrible or something. You can also ask, God, this is a weakness. How do you want to solve it? Well, one of the thinking about this. Paul shared about his weaknesses, how he was flogged five times with whips and three times with sticks, and he was in prison, and he was thinking, geez, he needed some medical attention. Just as well God sent a doctor to travel with him called Luke, isn't it? That was one of the solutions that God had for it. God's not into letting you have a problem for no reason at all. What's his way of making a way through with this? So, I know you're going to find this shocking, but I'm going to shut up for a couple of minutes. and just give you a moment to sit and look at this, because I know that there's a good chance that many of you are a little bit like me, and you go home this afternoon and something else comes up and you get distracted and you go to look at the weather, and 5 hours later you look at your weaving baskets. If you read the bulletin a few weeks ago, there was a funny in there. I picked up my phone to look at the weather, and 5 hours later I was learning how to weave baskets out of carrots. We get distracted by all sorts of things. I just want to take a couple of minutes now to allow you to think about one of the weaknesses you're struggling with at the moment. Look at those questions and ask the Holy Spirit to show you at least one step that helps you deal with that weakness. Whether it's okay, son, it's okay, daughter, I'm using this for this, or you don't need to know that yet, but I'm using it. But let's shut up, Mr. Downs, and give you a moment. Lord God, thank you that you're not expecting us to answer every one of those questions for every one of our weaknesses by the end of today. Lord, thank you that we don't have to know that answer every one of those questions for each weakness. But we can know that you have got an answer for each of those. That your timing is sufficient. That the things we're struggling with, you know about, and you have promised all things work together for the good of those who love Christ Jesus. Lord, for each one of us here, Lord, we pray that as we take this little piece of paper and ask those questions, that by your Spirit you show us at least some of what you're doing, utilizing our weaknesses. Lord, we thank you that you have given us strengths. And you utilize those, and that's so much easier and more fun to talk about and think about. But Lord, the weaknesses you are not something outside of your understanding or usage. You're not looking and going, oh, didn't know that was going to happen. Oh, that's a bit of a problem. Lord, help us to hang on to you and to allow you to bring good out of our weaknesses and our strengths. Lord, I pray that blessing for each of us, Lord. We all need it. We all need it because we all have weaknesses. And we want them to glorify you. But we also go, Lord, things that are a weakness, and sometimes they're not meant to stay that way. And you've got a way forward. And we pray for that understanding of what that is too, and to walk your path. Lord, for each of us here today, we humbly ask for your strength and empowering and help, because we know we need it. But we want it to be in such a way that brings glory to you, good to our community, and good for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you all.